Can we celebrate Pastor? Unfortunately, we are in strange times in the body of Christ. And so when people allow you to come and preach for them, you should celebrate them. Because there's a silent war, but it's a cold war. And it's a battle for truth. And so when people have not listened to you for so long, and they entrust their podiums to you, you should be grateful. I trust Jesus that I will not betray the trust. And I believe God also that all of our lives, help me, will not remain the same in the name of Jesus. It's good to see my friend again. I would want us to take a few minutes to pray. When I saw the list, I was wondering, what am I supposed to be doing here now? I watched maybe about 80% of Baba's delivery this morning, and I saw him working on this bond. I've not even mastered how to use bonds. But the Lord will help me. I believe that there is a work he's doing in our lives, younger people. And tonight, many will be recruited in the name of Jesus. So with grateful hearts, can we embrace the Lord one more time? If you can pray in tongues, then it's a good time to pray. Oh, Koshabaravi Kisosofike Notari Avakatos and Kavika Vanakatos of Viatinasa. Sombro kotos kavanos setufe kadia tavanos akakabo movina satufe katavari kabava shatalakaya in konkema sabarato kiten sovampatake bietoto samamoko katon sebebava mate kateile koto kadranda bo shatada. We embrace you, Holy Spirit. You are the revealer of truth. Emparasu sai telemokombe an banatada alakine mo santa di kabamonde kabaya. For he shall take of what is mine and he shall shew it unto you. Ibrono saito mi bivania kaimo salukadaba bandrokano tadia telo satai. We acknowledge your working, dear Holy Ghost. We ask that you reveal to us the Christ. You were designated as the revealer of the Christ. And tonight we embrace your ministry in words and in power. Anio silo makama mota bante kaito mi komerate reto nesto reto levata reto statu zanate riatonzo kama bivanate. Oh, we adore you. We adore you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. So, Father, tonight we embrace the ministry of your Spirit, that the Christ be revealed unto us in all of his beauty, not just so that we may know, but so that knowing can be a bridge into becoming. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please be seated. In Deuteronomy 29:29, the Bible says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed are unto us and unto our children, so that we might do all the words of this law. Every time I have the privilege of standing outside our podium, I take a little bit of time to acknowledge the labors of my spiritual father, the Apostle Arome Osai. Because what we have found is little. Just like the psalmist says, with thee are the fountains of life, and in thy light we have seen light. We have been privileged to receive of the Lord the gift of a man, and we can boldly say that in his light we have seen light. Yes. So much of what we do is not because we are qualified, but there is a sound that tells us always that God has sent us. So I want you to help me celebrate again my spiritual father, the Apostle Arome Osai. Thank you so much. You may please be seated. Okay. The beauty of Christ. The beauty of Christ. When I listen to Baba in the morning, and that's what I call him, that's Reverend Olani. I saw that his build-up was around the person of the Christ. Trying to view the Christ through the lenses of John the Beloved in John chapter 1. He was bringing us into the twofold reality that were discovered, or the twofold virtues that were discovered in the person of the Christ, the virtues of grace and truth. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
And then that teaching is not worth improving on. Yes, it was very detailed. It was very detailed. Baba is a gift. I couldn't listen to Pastor John's delivery. I've heard so much about him. But like Pastor said, I've had a very busy week. And I was telling a friend this morning that this coming week is more busy than the last one. Because Monday and Tuesday I was ministering in Akure and had to rush into our service to preach Tuesday evening. I was home Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I ministered in Adoekiti last night, this morning, and then this evening. I still have two sermons to preach tomorrow. Monday, Tuesday, I'm going to be in Ilorin. Wednesday, Thursday, we have our own contact. And Friday, Saturday, I'm going to be in Ikorodu. So it's quite a busy schedule. So if my voice is bad, please pardon me. But we'll be many.
Yes.
And one of the things that being many will do is that some of us will begin to rest. Yes, some of us will begin to rest. That's why we're laboring that hard. That by the time we grow a little bit older, we have many in our company. So that we have 10 meetings in 1 week, and we only have to preach at one. Because you have competent hands to run every other thing that we need to do. All right. Now, when a man begins to approach onto a spirit entity, and for the purposes of this meeting, I would say the divine entity or entities, it is to suggest that Israel needs to hear that God is one God. However, in fellowshipping with God who is one, you will come to the understanding that there are three personalities in the Godhead. So our fellowship with God is with one God, but they are distinct personality expressions. If you transit from the Father to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, for example, when you begin to interface with the Christ, he is in tune with the feelings of your infirmities. He understands how a man can be instructed to pray from 12 midnight to 3 a.m. and how, because you had a busy day, you will need to take a nap. He understands. I'm not saying that he condones our weariness, but I'm saying he is at home with it, because the Bible says we do not have a high priest who is untouched. He can connect with the feelings of our infirmities, because He has existed as man, and based on the testimony of scriptures, what we have in heaven representing us is still a man. For there is only one mediator between God and men, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
However, when God, we call him the Father, was interfacing with a man, Abraham, this was the mandate of the relationship. Walk thou before me and be perfect. What he was saying to Abraham is that I will not condone the expressions of your humanity. If I want 100 from you, you will not pass if you score 90. You must produce perfection. Your human expressions must be complete. There must be nothing lacking. The reason is simple. Because God the Father has not tasted humanity. Are you with me? So there are distinct personality expressions in the Godhead, in the triune nature of God. And by the testimony of scriptures, we also understand that there is a separation of activity in the Godhead. So that the Bible says there are diversities of gifts, but there is one Spirit. So the Holy Spirit sits as the administrator of the gifts. There are also differences or diversities, if you want it, of administrations. You can call them ministries, but there is only one Lord. It means what we call the fivefold, and by extension many other ministries that the Lord Jesus will call people to, are stewarded by the office of the Christ. So if you are called to be a pastor, I know regularly anybody who looks like a minister is called pastor. And it looks as if people now get an upgrade into prophet and apostle. A day must come where we must make people understand that the pastoral office is a high calling. It's not something you enter into because you want to start ministry and looking for a name to start with. Our default is brother. And there are some of our fathers who have even stayed with the title brother. Amen.
Amen.
Good. So the Bible also makes us know that beyond the experience of gifts and administrations of ministries, there is also the experience of operations. Operations has to do with the economy of uniqueness in God. That when you meet two prophets, you will think that they are the same, but their access routes into the prophetic expression is different. So that in the prophetic, you have those who are seers. You have those who operate only by perception. You have the masters of hearing. God ensures that we don't lose our uniqueness, even though the callings are similar. And that diversity is to bring to our consciousness that God is multifaceted in expression too. That God has a characteristic trait, and it is that he is ingenuous in bringing interventions. That if you block the 50 known routes that you know, God is beyond 50 ways to get things done. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So it means that beyond the differences in personality, there is also differences in the assignment. But for the purposes of God to come to pass, there is always a convergence. We saw it playing out in Genesis chapter 1. We also saw it playing out in Genesis chapter 1, the creation of everything generally. And we became more conscious of it in the day that our kind was to emerge. Let us make man. So you are the product of a contribution. The old man, even the new man, are the product of a contribution. Your concept was drawn from God because God conceptualizes. Your definition was expressed in Christ. And your becoming is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm saying all of these things just to back up my initial utterance that when we approach unto the divine entity, it is actually an approach unto divine entities. Are you with me? Okay. So let me take my entrance statement again. Pastor said I should teach scriptures. So let me try. Am I trying small, small? So there are certain bodies of knowledge that give us the advantage when we come into fellowship or we seek relationship with spirits or with the divine entities. One of these bodies of knowledge is the knowledge of the nature of the entity that you are relating with. You will abuse the reality of any spirit entity. You will abuse the reality of God if you have not labored to know what his nature is like. Two, we will need to know the possibilities of the spirit that we are relating with. I know that people in prayers pray that someone who abused them should die. But you will need to be schooled that the kind of spirit that you have come to relate with is not of that sort. He's not one who occasions thunder because a man of God was ignored. Are you with me? Because a young man, a tailor, was approached by a pastor to sue for him. Oh, we have a meeting in 4 weeks. I know the details because I was present in the event. We now trace this back to know what happened. And this young man told the man of God, sir, I'm busy now. Can you come back later? No, it's you I want to sow this thing. So the young man didn't meet up. And the man got angry, said a lot of things about this person. I was in the hospital. And then the young man came to the hospital to beg. He had sewn the clothes, but it was like 2-3 days late. So he prostrated and was begging the man. And the man said, no. Ah, you don't know I'm a pastor. And while we were telling people around, some of us were begging the man, he told the young man to stand up and go away. If you don't stand up now, if you stand up later, your glory will not rise with you. On top cloth. 31st of December, I was coming to pick my family. They were on vacation to Ibadan. And as I was coming, the vehicle developed problems, so they had to tow it back to Bomosho. I was in the mechanic's shop. And then a pastor drove across and was screaming something that caught my attention. What he was saying is, and I was wondering, oh, what did you do now? The mechanic said he only told me to come and pick his second car to repair it. And they are programming tears into the new year. It's because such men have not come into the understanding of the possibilities of the spirit that they are now relating with. So you will gain an advantage when, one, you know the nature of the spirit. Two, you know the possibilities of the spirit. Three, you know the potency of that spirit. And quickly, four, you know the name of that spirit. I will sit with names, because what we are trying to unveil is the beauty of the Christ, and my first assignment will be to establish or to validate the existence of such a nomenclature as the Christ, so that we are not running in vain. It's possible to speak of the beauties of something that actually does not exist. Now, there's a famed creature referred to as the unicorn. And when the psalmist was trying to express in words an encounter that he had with the Lord, he said, my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of the unicorn, and I shall be mingled afresh with oil. Now, the unicorn exists largely in fairy tales. It's a horse with a horn that is always pointing upwards. Now, we can describe it many times. It comes in white. I'm sure some people here can already picturing the unicorn. They can draw it. But science does not support its existence. Are you with me? It's just like everybody believes that if it is white and has wings, what is it? It's an angel. But experience shows that it's not all angels that have wings. Are you with me? So there is the possibility of thinking that, oh, this is what this thing looks like. It is wisdom to first establish that there is such a a structure of performance in God, a person that is called the Christ. There is a nomenclature like that. Why is it important to know the name? It is because to the average Jew, when you ask him, what is your name? There are two things that he's hearing. One, what you are asking him is, what authority do you have? Because your name is a revelation of the authority that you walk in. Two, your name gives us details about your character traits. Names are symbolic of authority. Names are also symbolic of character. So as we begin to peep into the word of God, I said that this subject will require foundationally that we first validate from a tried set of witnesses that there is such thing as the Christ. Now, there are many verses of scripture that we can use to establish this truth, but I have decided to take two. And the reason why I have stayed with these two is because of the weight of the witnesses that testified to the reality of this office. First of all, we want to look at the witness from Matthew chapter 16, and you can give me verse 15. Matthew 16, 15. I'll wait for you. 16:15, 1:6, 1:5. Thank you. Now the Bible says, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Next verse. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next verse, verse 17. We want to unveil the witness behind the testimony of Peter. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So Peter was only like an echoing facility. He was privileged to hear the witness of God concerning the man Jesus. And the witness of God said, thou art the Christ. That's strong enough witness. Jesus had to help us, upon whom the ends of the world will come, to reveal to us the voice behind Peter's voice. Because even Paul's utterances are queried now. There are those who teach that Paul was melancholic because he spent so much time in prison so that he could travel across mood swings, so that when he was excited there were some things that he said, and when the beating was too much because of pain he said some other things. It's a strange time to be in the body of Christ. Strange time. It's a wonderful time because what is ahead of us is strong, but there is a lot of work that the Holy Spirit is doing to produce the kind of man that will feature in that day of glory. Baba said it in the morning that it was from grace to, yes, to faith, and then from it's the transition is from faith to glory. To glory. That's where we're going to. But you see, the weight of that glory needs to be prepared for. And what the enemy is doing is that he has mangled those two realities of grace and of faith to ensure that men don't make it into glory. So the witness of God is strong enough. So Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. It's to make us understand that flesh and blood is a revelatory dimension. If you stay on the road, they can preach a Jesus to you that doesn't look like the one that you know, because there's a market definition of the Christ. Are you with me? Yes, there is an institutional definition of Jesus, but God said this man Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. Amen. Now in John chapter 17, you can give me from verse 1. I'll just take from verse 1 to 3. Jesus engaged in what we call the priestly prayers of Jesus. It was one of those portions of scriptures that established him, his priesthood of prayer. There are different kinds of priesthood. It was the longest recorded prayer that Jesus prayed, and it was a prayer that was designed to have transgenerational impact, so that first of all he prayed for himself, and then he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for us who will come into the faith by the witness of his disciples. So we are all covered in John chapter 17. It was a prayer that he needed to engage in because his ministry was tailing out, and he wanted to ensure that we were secured in the will of God. How did he begin? This word spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. It is to tell you that if you possess eternal life, you were given to the Christ before you ever met him. Amen. Amen. So we were apportioned eternal life by selection. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You now belong to him. I would have wanted to establish that theory in John chapter 1, but it would take too much time. But if you go to John chapter 1 verse 11, the Bible said he came unto his own. He had already possessed them, but his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he now gave them power to become. Are you with me? Literally, his own is the Jewish nation. But by extension, his own is the whole world. He came to mankind. They were already his own in God. They were allocated to him as his people. But only those who received him secured conversion. Amen. So let's go back to John 17. I don't like seeing too much of scriptures when I'm preaching. It's the sight of scriptures that inspires me. And this is eternal life, because in 2022, eternal life means many things to many people. So Jesus did not leave us without a definition. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, because a time will come when many gods will be presented, including the latest god in town whose name is man. And there are more people now who worship themselves than who worship God. Every time you obey your will, you are a slave of yourself. It means you are the God that you serve. So we have tongue speaking believers who have another God aside God, and it's not Shango, it's themselves. That they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So from the lips of the Christ himself, he acknowledges himself as the Christ. These are two proven witnesses. Why? Because in 1 John chapter 5, the Bible tells us that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. So when two of those who bear record come to testify, you should take their witness. Even in the Senate, what they need is to talk. To make anything law. It means we can, by these twin witnesses, establish that Jesus is the Christ. And that there is such a nomenclature in God as the Christ. Amen. Amen. Am I confusing you?
No, sir.
Awesome. They didn't say I should come and preach you. They said I should come and teach. So Let's go gradually. It will soon become very interesting. It's still looking like a theological class. So we have those two clear verses. And by the lips of these two witnesses, we have established the reality of the Christ. Now, when we begin to speak of Jesus as the Christ, before we look at his beauty, there are four basic streams of expression that can be used to engage the Christ. Four basic streams. And as believers, it is the desire of God that we come into the fellowship of these four streams. One is what Baba brought to us in the afternoon, is the person of the Christ, or if you want, you can call it Christ the man. The Word became flesh, became man, that's the incarnation, and he dwelt amongst us and we beheld him. They didn't need to pray to know him. They just walked to, they walked up to him. As a matter of fact, John, in testifying, claimed that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. And you will argue it until you find out that John wrote so differently from any of, from the three other witnesses in the New Testament. You know, the ark of the Lord in the Old Testament, which was the emblem of his presence, was born on the shoulders of how many men? Four men. In the same way, God ensured that the witness of the life and times of Jesus will be born on the shoulders of four men, but all of them saw Jesus from different perspectives, so that in Matthew you see Jesus as the king, in Mark you see him as the suffering servant, in Luke you see him as the Son of Man. So Luke gave much attention to the growing up of Jesus, how he was born. If you look at the book of John, you will not find the stories of the birth of Jesus there. He actually decided to begin this discourse about the person of Jesus the Christ from a time that was earlier than Genesis 1. Because in Genesis 1, the person of the Word was already part of the creation activity. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But in John 1:1, the Word had not become separate from God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was still at a realm of conceptualization. Man was not yet a factor where John started writing from. It was John that revealed to us that when God said, "Let there be light," it was not the sun. That what God did was to deploy his very life. And when that life entered into the world, it became the light that we saw in the beginning. Are you with me? That's what proximity did to John. He must have had the privilege to ask questions from Jesus that no other person could ask. Because when they go to bed in the night, his head rested on the chest of Jesus. So while every other person was snoring, there must have been silent questions he was asking. So what about this thing? You will also find out that it was John who gave us the clearest testimony of the person of the Christ. He was the one who told us that he's the bread of life. And if you read John chapter 5, you see a delivery of the very deep relationship that Jesus had with his Father. It was John that revealed to us that the life of Christ was not lived as an original life. It was lived by mirroring. That the very words that he spoke were the words of his Father. That the very things that he did were the things that he saw his Father do. That's how close. So when you are reading John, I'm just marketing the Gospel of John. That if you really want to know Jesus, you must stay long with the book of John and you will know him very well. Because he marketed Jesus as the Son of God. It was the divine side of Jesus that John paid keen attention to, so that his divinity will not be lost in his humanity. So we see first Jesus the man. Some people took time to watch him. That is not like us. In John 3, we see the testimony of Nicodemus, who said, "We know you are a great teacher, and that you are a teacher sent from God, because some of us is men that sent us." Are you with me? And John helped us distinguish between a teacher from men and a teacher from God, because it's not what they say that separates them, it's the things that they do. No man can do these things except God be with him. Nicodemus is saying you can teach even if God is not with you. But there are things you'll not be able to do. Are you with me? So Jesus now cleared his mind that you are not wrong, but it's not my exclusive preserve. If a man is born again, these things I'm doing, he will do it cheaply. Because he doesn't need to do it by power. He does it by access. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. If you can see what you are doing in heaven, you will reproduce it here. Are you with me? So all of these witnesses were about Jesus' demand. But that's not all. In John chapter 14 or chapter 13, as Jesus began to close that chapter and he began to speak to his disciples about his impending journey, not to heaven, but to the cross, the disciples became saddened and they began to lack comfort. And so Jesus used that opportunity to introduce to them God's answer to their discomfort, a comforter. But this is how he began. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." John 14:1. "Believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house there are many mansions." And many times I've had the privilege to preach from here, I have announced that Jesus' journey was not heavenward, it was crossward. And so what he was saying to them is that the demonstrations you have seen in me only helped to validate that I am my Father's house. But the cross has the capacity to do something to me. In the cross, I will become the segmented Christ. I am like a new plot of land, very, very fertile. But when I go to the cross, they are going to cut this plain land into plots. So that as God dwells in me as one Christ, God will dwell in each of you as different dwelling places. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So what he was introducing to them was the concept of Christ, the body. That in the body of Christ, what we see is a convergence of temples of God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So that's the second phase of the Christ. So that when you know Christ the man, the next thing you are supposed to know is Christ the body. I'm afraid of people who claim to know Christ the man, but do not acknowledge Christ the body. I'm here today because even though pastor preaches well, he believes that God has helped other people too in the body of Christ, and he decides to bring me. Why I'm here is because he perceives that the one who dwells in him also dwells in me. So it's a validation of that operation that only the cross could make happen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We also have what we call Christ, the civilization. And we see, I'm using common verses of scripture, even though there are many more, so that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, Paul is seeking to bring us into the consciousness of the transition or state that happens when you acknowledge Jesus as Lord. He said, "If any man be in Christ." Oh, so it means that, what's your name, my brother? So when my brother Femi wants to introduce or to tell, give somebody his address, I know he will say, "I'm in Mokola." It will be wrong. He's supposed to say, "I'm in Christ in Mokola." Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you better live in that reality. We're in strange times, because monkeypox can come to Mokola. The only thing that we keep you safe from monkeypox in Mokola is that monkeypox cannot penetrate your layer of defense. You are in Christ. Are you with me? So while we knew that COVID-19 will not touch some of us, it's not because Ogbomoso is safe. It's because our address is in Christ in Ogbomoso. So if it ravages the city, Christ will need to permit COVID-19 before it travels this far. That's why we sleep well in the night. Because if you do what we do, after you have cast out devils in the afternoon and you go to bed like every other person, there's no special way to sleep. It's just to close your eyes and sleep. The reason why you know that you wake up in the morning is because you are sleeping in Christ. You know, I was joking one time that this kidnapping thing is God that is saving us. Somebody sent you a mail and says, "Come and preach at Umahia." You don't have friends there, but you pick up your bag, you tell your wife, "I'm going to Umahia," and then maybe you fly into the town, and at the airport you won't follow anybody who comes with a black card. Pastor Daya, you don't know if he's the person that invited you, because many times the pastors don't come to the airport.
So you are just comfortable, you follow the person. He takes you into a room, they say it's the hotel room they booked for you. You may not see the pastor until inside the service, and you are comfortable. You don't feel like calling them to say, it looks as if I've been kidnapped. The reason why you are comfortable is that your ecosystem is a mobile one. It followed you into the plane. When you followed that man, you were still in your space. When you sat in their car, you were in your space in the car. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's the reason why some people are bold and some people are afraid. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 that we have not received the spirit which is of the world, 2:12, but the spirit which is of God. And one of the feedbacks of that reception is that we come to a knowing of the things that have been given to us of God. One of the things we were given was an atmosphere that can sit on a bike, so that if the bike is crashing, you have a buffer environment. You will land softly. So we have Christ the civilization. It's called a civilization because there are many structures of performance in the Christ. So it's a ready environment. You came into it not to start building, but to be added to what was already working in there. If any man being Christ, he is a new creature. And the reason why he's a new creature is because all things have passed away. Another word for things is reality. It means he's no longer exposed to old realities. All things have become new. And to know the source of these new things, the Bible adds, all things are of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now the last phase where I want to really do business this evening, because it's like everybody has been selecting, so let me select one. The fourth stream of the Christ is called Christ the office, or what we call the office of the Christ. So let's begin to labor around the office of the Christ, because that's what I want to do. We will begin with outlining the office of the Christ, and then in advertising the beauty of the Christ, we will begin to use the lines, the offices of the Christ. Because the office of the Christ, as one of the expressions of the Christ, is a beautified office. When you view the office of the Christ, you will see three badges. And each of those three badges represent a particular office of their own. So the office of the Christ is a threefold office: redemption and victorious living will not be possible outside the office of the Christ. But what makes that reality possible is the beautification of that office along the lines of its three expressions, different offices. So the office of the Christ is like a faculty, since some of us are students, like a faculty, but it has three strong departments. And without any of those departments, the office will lose part of its potency. Good. Let's first begin with the witness of Luke. And then what we want to do is to put our feet across two testaments, so that by the labors of two or more witnesses, we establish truth. And for those who are teachers of doctrine, it is impossible to establish doctrine with one verse of scripture. You find out that you will start that way. But if you bring other verses, if you are like me, I prepare sermon, sir, and I'm already excited that God has helped me. And then the Holy Spirit, if he wants to help me, he flings one verse in my heart. And when I put that verse into the rest of the sermon, so I don't know anything. So what I need to do to that sermon is to cancel it. Because the first trait of one who wants to teach scripture is that he must be sincere. Many people who lie know that what they want to go and preach is a lie. What they do is that they stay away from verses that reveal their falsehood. Are you with me? God will help us. Okay. So, Acts of the Apostles. Have I jumped? Okay. Acts chapter 2 verse 34. We'll read from verse 34 to 36. 36 I think is what I need, but okay, so let's start from here. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. As 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The word make there is established. In extended terms, it means coronated. So just like our president next year will be established as president, because we already have a president. The world does not know, but we have. And we forbid manipulations. Yes, we forbid manipulations. That come May 29 next year, our president will be the president. So just like we need to hide his name. Are you with me? Well, for many good reasons, we need to hide his name. Just like you just say the Christ, you know, pastor didn't say the beauty of Jesus Christ. You hid his human name. So let me to hide the human name and just say the president. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He will lose his human name, first name, second name, and he will begin to travel in the office. Are you getting me? In the same way, when Jesus ascended, he was gifted a throne in heaven. And the energies of that throne are along two streams, the streams of lordship and the Christ. That's what God made him. It was Peter's attempt to explain what happened at Pentecost. That what you see happen here did not just erupt. It is the manifestation of something that happened in the back end. However, it will be wisdom for us to travel to the prophecy of the psalmist. Because in the Old Testament, you know, I love David so much, not just because I'm quite sound inclined. It's because David looked like the most robust expression of the coming Christ. He was a king who manifested in three offices inside one office. He was mostly known as the greatest king of Israel, and he still is. Jerusalem is his city. That's what the Bible calls the city of the great king. So his kingship, but you see, beneath his kingship, there were two other offices. The strength of his kingship was not the oil that was poured on his head. It was consecrated living. He lived like a priest. And so he could approach onto an altar and offer sacrifices without consequence. He could feast on shew bread when common bread has finished. You know why there's scarcity of the word of God? It's because they've upgraded qualifications to hear from God. Let me not talk about it. The look on your faces means I must come back here. I'm saying that the word of God, like in the days of Eli, has become scarce. I'm not saying sermons have become scarce. We just learned that you can preach from flesh and blood. The reason why the word of God has become scarce is that what they feed men with so that they can hear what God is saying is no longer common. And in this day, when you come into the tabernacle, they will announce to common men that your kind of bread is not here. That was what the priest was saying to David, that what is under your hand for me and my men to eat? He said, well, there's nothing, because there's no common bread. The only thing we have is hallowed bread. David said, clear your mind. We have lived our life like priests. We can eat what you have without consequence. So it means our level of layers of our intensification in consecration must be higher. If not, many pastors will not be able to preach again in the years to come. We will have 2-hour services and we need to employ entertainers for 1 hour 30 minutes because the word is cast. Okay, so he was a priest, but beyond his priesthood, when you go to the book of Psalms, you understand that David was gifted prophetic powers. Now this display, please celebrate the man of God. My eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. It's good to finally meet you, sir. Amen. This morning I was sharing about Northern Christians, that we need to import people from the north to the south to come and speak to us, so that we know that we don't know Jesus. I told them this morning that the gift of freedom we have here has been taken for granted. You know, tomorrow morning all kinds of people will walk into church, including people are coming from the club. I'm saying to you that in your city, some keyboards will not sleep in church this night. The keyboardist will take it to the club to play, and when it comes back in the morning, he will come. Don't, if he begins to sleep on the keyboard, it's possible that he didn't sleep in the night. It's not kind of sacrilege that we see around. People are supposed to labor to bring the presence of God, a God that they don't know. Every time I go to the north, I come back convicted. That's the same heaven we are going to. It's the same judgment we have. In the south, they teach us how to be saved so that we can live. In the north, they teach them how to be saved so that they can die. I schooled in Mina. I served in my degree. So I understand that hardness. And that's why I travel with an axe every time you tell me to preach. It's to smash people's heads. I don't have pillows. I'm a very hard preacher. I'm surprised that we have members in Obomoso. They should have gone away. Now I don't know how to make you feel happy. I prayed for a man of God recently, and what attracted me to him was he told somebody, why does this young man always make people feel that they are not saved? You are just enjoying what you are doing, and he comes and says, you are not right with God. So what kind of thing is that? Please can you help me celebrate again? Alright, so where did we stop? So Lord and Christ. So let's go to Psalm 110, and we're getting into the meat of my discussion. It was a testament to David's prophetic powers that was not only spying from the realm of the spirit, he had the privilege to be gifted a window to eavesdrop a divine communication, because this discussion was happening only within the Godhead. It was the Father speaking to the Son and speaking about the Holy Ghost. I am not sure that angels were privy to this kind of conversation, but a king. Somebody say a king. David is an indictment to the banker that is here, who is saying, because I am a banker, the word of God is cast. I'm saying he was a king. A shepherd boy who became a king. He didn't go to school of prophets, but he had the capacity to eavesdrop that much. They gave him that access. You have access. So use it. Use it. Can you say to your neighbor, use it? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. It was God the Father, so that we don't spend so much time here. God the Father saying to God the Son. This event was not happening when David was seeing it. That's what makes his prophetic powers very strong. This was the event that occasioned Pentecost. But from that far away, was already viewing, because the second Lord here is the ascended Christ. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Jesus left heaven as the Word. That's John 1. Good. But now he had fully incarnated. He had paid the ultimate penalty. And he had risen. He had been in the day of his coronation as Lord and Christ. Beyond what we may you know, picture of a crown being put on his head and a garment being worn on his shoulders. What really established his essence as the Christ was that a throne was given to him. What God did was to congregate all of his realities and put them under the government of a throne. That's what the Bible calls the right hand. And God says to him, sit on this throne, that as the Christ, you will be the new administrator of all of my realities. So that in that day, whatever you want must pass through that throne. And that throne has the ability to put an end to the journey of reality from God. That's how strong the throne is. That God can be willing. But if that throne disaligns, glory to God, that throne always aligns. If the throne disaligns with the desire of God, nothing will reach the earth. Are you with me?
Yes,
sit at my right hand, but you will not be seated forever. It will be until all thine enemies become your footstool, until you subdue all of them. Now the second verse, so the first beauty of the office of the Christ is actually that structure called the throne. The throne is one of the glories of that office. A throne so strong that the realities of God are hosted inside it. That's one. Two is the reality of descending. That's another beauty, descending of the Spirit. Because most people don't understand how those old video cassette recording machines work. How many of us have seen a video cassette recording? Are you very old like that? When you slot in the video cassette and then you have watched, the last set of videos you watched like that were Mount Zion movies with spirits appearing and disappearing. No, they don't do those kind of evil spirit movies again. So when the movie has come to an end, the machine is not designed to be intelligent enough to release the cassette by itself. There is an eject button, and in operating that button, what you will do is to press that button in. If you press that button in, what happens is that the cassette comes out. So in that same manner, immediately the Christ sat, something came out. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And so as we celebrate the beauty of the throne, we must also celebrate the beauty of what left because he sat. So in verse 2, the Bible says to us, verse 2, help me. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength. That this throne is not only beautiful, this office is not only beautified with a throne, the office is also beautified with a scepter. The assignment of a scepter is to increase the energy, the sphere of function of the throne. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So that if they are, there's no Allah fin now. There's no Allah fin now. When the last Allah is invited to certain meetings and he cannot attend, he has a staff of office and he has staffs of office. The other staffs of office are mirrors of the original one. Just like everybody sitting here who has given their lives to Christ has a mirrored throne inside you. That's what we refer to as the throne of grace. It's actually the throne of operation of the Holy Spirit, because it's also a throne spirit. It's a king spirit. But for the purposes of bringing the realities of the throne of Christ, not just to us as a congregation, but unto us as individuals, when he came as a throned entity, his throne was subdivided into everyone that God saved. So that in your hour of need, you don't need to come to church. You can, from the corners of your room, in case your mouth is tied, from your heart, because the throne is not outside you, it's within. You can whisper in your heart or think a request, and the throne will immediately be activated like a telecom mast, so that it receives signals from the throne of the Christ and realities can be downloaded here and now. So that it doesn't take long to know what God is saying about you. You don't need to ask your friend when you finish singing the choir. We used to do it that time, but we didn't know so much. To say, did I sing well? Do people still ask that thing? No, don't lie. You still do sometimes. Say, did I minister well? And it's wrong because they don't have that spiritual marking scheme. They can only mark sound. They can't mark essence. So, right, God is more closer to you than your friend. Your friend needs to process a little. Immediately, you are as at the time you are singing, the meter is reading in heaven. So as you are stepping off the stage, even on stage, as a preacher, I receive marking schemes. That when I'm beginning to waste people's time or I'm exaggerating truth, something lifts on my head. And I know, oh! So I quickly say, God will help us. It's not you that God is helping, it's me. And what I do is I abort that line of discussion and I come back. What I'm trying to say is that, you see, the realities of that office, they are living realities. It should be difficult for a believer to stay in error for so long. The activity of that throne ensures that you can know now that you are wrong. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Can we pray for 2 minutes? Evoca sufena breki lava sataya. That which we have heard, that our eyes have seen, that we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Of the word of life, this same word do we bring unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. The purpose of the deliveries of God is that we can come into the same plane of expression. And tonight we travel. Lord, we refuse to leave anyone behind. Let the gates of exit and entrance be open. We leave no one behind. We leave no one behind. Come on, take other. Sandome kabia rate sate na valte imbokalu sate mopaya. Every one of us, we journey together by the help of the Spirit. Oh, send us help from Zion. Send us help from Zion. We thank you, Father.
Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit in your work on earth. Thank you, oh my Father. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and for leaving us your Spirit.
The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. So we see the beautification of a throne that administrates all of the realities of God. We see the beauty of a rod that leaves Zion, and that rod is the person of the Spirit, the one who was mandated by God to extend the frontiers of the energies of the office of the Christ. Every time you speak in tongues, appreciate God. Every time you are privileged to operate in the gift of the Spirit, every time you come under the consciousness of the anointing, what made the anointing possible is the throne. So a rod has been stretched forth. God's reality became man's reality because a rod left Zion. But it didn't end there, because it will have meant that the beauty of the office of the Christ was only expressible within the Godhead. So David continued to listen, and he gifted us a third verse. He said, "Thy people." That one of the beauties of the office of the Christ is the emergence of mortals after a kind of shape. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." It was to say to the Christ that your prevailing over your enemies will be by contention. A day of warfare will come, but you will not need to fight. That's why I sang that song. That by the multiplicity of labors of this rod that leaves Zion, he will have subdued enough men that in that day there will be men after a different sort. And they will be the ones who will bring witness to the energies of your throne. Let's take some time to look at those people and see what they look like. Because if all you have is a throne, Christ, then it will be difficult to win. If all you have is one scepter and there are no men, the scepter as entity as he is a spirit. And the Bible already says to us in Psalms chapter 115 verse 16 that the earth is not for spirits. Are you with me? Heaven, even the heavens belong to God, are the Lord's, but the earth he had given to the children of men. If a spirit wants to win in the earth, it must subdue men. So when the Holy Ghost was given a mandate to rule in the midst of the enemies of the Christ, he didn't start with witches, because he will need a body in the earth. Are you with me? He didn't start with territorial spirits. He started with you, because there was an operating system in your heart, in my heart, that programmed me to be an enemy of God. And when he came, he didn't first come as the conquering spirit. He knocked the doors of my heart as the convicting spirit. And when I came under conviction, he became the gate opener. He aided me into the confession of Jesus as Lord. Because in Isaiah chapter 11, the first phase of the Holy Spirit that was introduced was the Spirit of the Lord. As the Spirit of the Lord on one side of the coin, he dominates a man. On the other side, so he dominates a man, yes, into submission. On the other side, he empowers a man to dominate on his behalf. So we were his first enemies, and we are saved because he now rules over us. The man is the end of the beauty of the Christ. That what began in heaven in the earth can find expression. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That day of power was unlocked at Pentecost, and that day is still going on. Because if you go to Mokola market, you will find out that Jesus is not Lord in that market. Are you with me? I used to work in the battle, and I'll share my brothers that my office used to be at Kongi. So during break, our break is 1 hour. I was project manager for a construction company around Akobo. So what we would do is people will be eating and gisting. I would take a walk from that place. I walk towards secretariat, come down to Total Garden side and walk back. That's my 1 hour prayer walk straight. And then I go back and we continue walking. But sometimes I just feel like, let me not take that route. So I do Mokola. Under that bridge, there are some strange young men. Once it's about, there was not more to do. So I will watch them a little. They come with one or two phones. How many of you have seen them before? And then they have a small stand. So they look for gullible people. People want to buy an iPhone for 500 naira. So they offer the phone and then they move their cards in a fashion. How many of you have stayed to watch them? They move their cards in a fashion, and no matter how they move it, you will win. You will gain an iPhone. They will collect your money. As you're about going, they will tell you, come back, come back. It's iPhone 6 that you have. There's the iPhone X. Just pay like another 4,000 and you have iPhone X. And you know now. So you give iPhone X 4,000. They didn't lose anything. So you put 4,000, you join it to iPhone 6, and then you begin to play for iPhone X. And you always win. As you turn around to go, the one who calls you back now is not the one who set up the game. It's a guy that came out from only Jesus knows where. Say, come here. And what that one does is to snatch the phone from you. So you lost 4-5. And if you're unlucky, even the little phone you have, you will lose it. His scriptures, that he that had but does not have, they gave him something, but he's acting like he doesn't have. He's not contented. Even the one that he has shall be taken. So you arrive back at the office. Well, I've not had the personal experience before, but I've seen people weep from Mokola under bridge here. It means that Jesus is not yet Lord there. But to stand on the bridge in the night and say, Jesus, reign here. You don't understand the protocol. That the office is designed to have a human face. And the human face is his people. How they begin their journey is that this Lord, this King Spirit that comes on behalf of the throne, he beats them into submission. So that what the first thing they flash at you when you see them is that they have been beaten into willingness. They have become very malleable in the hands of God. As youth coppers, he can post them to Katsina and they will stay there. He can post them to Zamfara and they don't have a will of their own. Are you with me? They may want to work in a bank, but because the Lord has a harvest in a school, he can send them to a private school where they are earning 20,000 instead of 100,000 in the bank, because willingness to them means that their life is no longer about survival. They have become dead. Okay, let me go to the younger people. They don't marry their friends again. They marry who he gives them. You don't like that one. This place is quiet. You know the marriage seminars you went to, they said marry your friend. Because you have known that one since you were small. Well, marry first. We just want to see how intelligent you are. How 25 years of living with your neighbors can produce a good wife. The Bible says, he that findeth. It's all with torchlight too. The word find there can be substituted with the word discern. It means they don't write good wife on somebody's head. He can know how to cook, but might not be a good wife. Amen. It's that if you have found him before you wrote jam, it's not the cost that you like that you should feel. Whatever you write on the jam form should be the byproduct of a season of inquiry. He talks to you, and because you have become a slave of his will, you go back to ask him. I studied engineering. But I don't even know where my certificate is. And because he said, this is why you came. How about we went to school? He said, it was good that you went to school. So while we're studying engineering, there was another work he was working to become what he wants us to be. I was sharing that after the 200 hours, a prophet in Abuja got a list of prophecies that came out of our prayer room, and he felt kind. See how God has helped this man. But you are in a boomer shop. It's not even a state capital. Unknowing to him, the sign that you have become willing is that you stay where he has put you. So the man sent me a prophetic word. Thus saith the Lord, pack your bags and move to Abuja for your next phase of ministry. I said, these people. I have found a more sure word of prophecy. I know that I am where God has placed me. That's what we call rest. It's not plenty money. Somebody was asking me, how does a believer rest? I said, you must find a pillow. The name of the pillow is the will of God. When you find that pillow, put your head there. You see, witches can be shouting, but you can sleep on that pillow. It's awesome to be a believer. It's awesome. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with you over and over and over and over again. And it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Amen. So three beauties. The beauty of a throne that houses the congregated expressions of God, the beauty of the sending of the Spirit, and the beauty of the emergence of a kind of people, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. They have more badges than willingness. The Bible says that their emergence will be in the beauty of holiness. The word beauty there can be substituted with the English word perfection. And holiness can be substituted with the word consecration. When the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit, it does not mean that he's a clean spirit. For example, these cups for the purpose of this service have been designated to us guest ministers. I know you will not give us where we are going, but at least it's our designation. It means that if my sister at the door becomes thirsty and you need a cup, you will rather drink from a bottle than come here to pick these cups. Am I right? Yes, sir. After this service, in case you are in the welfare team, it can even be your cup. But because it has been designated to guest ministers, these cups have become holy unto us. That's what holiness means. It means they have been consecrated to the use of one. So the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit because you cannot catch the Holy Spirit performing a function outside God. Are you with me? So when we become holy, it means about when you are finished pressing keyboard today, you can't go to play in a club. Are you with me? When we begin to live like that, anybody that tries to touch us, a hand will appear. Because the last time holy cups became human cups, a court session was set up without inviting the accused. And without hearing him, his judgment was written. Are you with me? Say you have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting. So the kingdom is divided. And it wasn't the following day. The army that was going to execute the sentence just came into the door and took over the government. That's what happens when we convert holy to common. One of the reasons why the church is being overrun with ease is because we are still religious people, but the element of holiness has gone out through our doors. God does not defend what is not given to him. He plays by rules. I tell people, any part of your life that is not consecrated to God, he's open to the enemy. Are you with me? So just like the Holy Spirit is consecrated to God, the Bible says that this man will emerge in the perfection of consecration. That when you meet a chorister and she sings glory be to God in the highest, when you check her phone, there's no Davido there. Are you with me? You see that my phone, I've been using it for about 2 years 7 months. This is my phone. There's no crack on the phone. It has fallen many times, but there's no crack. If I give it to you, you still bless my heart. Yes, it's a very clean phone. Because when I got the phone, I took it to the one who provided the money and I said, this phone is your phone. There are things that will never be watched on it. There are things that will never be played on it. It's God's phone. Because it is in his hand, it's his job to keep it. Are you with me? Whatever remains. Have you fought street fight before? No, I'm just asking. Because I need to draw a lesson from street fight. When nicely dressed men want to fight, what they do is, if his wristwatch is 100,000, he doesn't want it fractured. What they do is that they consecrate it to someone who is not fighting. Say take. He takes off his nice shoes and gives that man. He takes off his nightshirt. Then he shows up in boxers and singlet, because after the fight he still wants to have what he had before the fight. If you wear 100,000 wristwatch and a punch is coming, you see the way he shouted, hey, it's in your mind that 100,000. So you will be trying to preserve the wristwatch. The reason why there's ease of contention with darkness is that the things that matter in my life are no longer in my hands. He keeps my wife, he keeps my son, he keeps my parents, he keeps the ministry. Even my life is kept. So let's fight. After this fight, nothing will be lost. If you are in school, you can fight. The enemy knows that if he touches your academics, they flash you 5 F's. You will say, they sent me to school to read. So what we do is that we take our academics, as we are registering the courses, we are registering with the school, we are registering with the great one. Say, I will serve you, but you are the portion of my inheritance. You are also the keeper of my lot. Are you with me? That's how to survive. In the beauty of consecration, everything that makes up their entity will be dedicated to God. The Bible says they shall emerge from the womb of the morning. He talks about the economy of freshness. Like the sun goes to set this night and you think that's all to the sun. If you wake up early tomorrow, it will come out to shine again. It means that their impact is unending. When the enemy thinks it has ended, a new day is just about to start. Thou has ordained the dew of thy youth. There is a supply in God that ensures that they operate with strength, because in scriptures, youthfulness is synonymous with strength. So that the Bible says that the glory of the youth is their strength. It means that there is a supply in God, that even if the rain is not falling, they still have strength. Are you with me? That's the shape of those who will be produced by the office of the Christ. Let me close. So we see the beauty of a throne, the beauty of a scepter, or the beautification of a throne, the beautification of a scepter, and the beautification of a kind of people. Those are the externalities of the beauty of the office of the Christ. Now, when you revert back into the office is also beautiful because it's an office of congregated offices. So you come into the fellowship just like David, first of Christ the prophet. Christ the prophet. If I have 15 minutes, tell me. Anywhere I stop. That's how Papa used to preach. He stops anywhere. The three offices in the office of the Christ are Christ the prophet, Christ the priest, Christ in the king, and in that order, as Christ the prophet. John chapter 1 verse 1. Let's look at scriptures. Oh Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, in Greek the Logos. The Logos does not suggest a written word. The Logos suggests a concept. Like when I walked in, I saw this logo. So this is the logo of the ministry. At one glance, even if there was no signboard and there was no name, if you saw this logo, you know that this place is not a game center. Why? Because there is a cross. Are you with me? There is a crown. And these are supposed to be flames, revival flames. I don't know how detailed your concept was, but I see three flames here. A small one, a middle one, a big one. It also suggests to me that there's the understanding that this is the third day. This is a third day ministry. It means it's the ministry of resurrection. Are you with me? Because there are three flames there. I don't know. But this is to suggest that there's some charismatic reality going on here. Pentecost has been sustained in the house. And that Pentecost was possible because a cross happened. And because the cross happened and Pentecost has happened, a day of glorification will come. Are you with me? Good. So it means we don't need to define the ministry too much. All of the elements that we would need to use in defining the ministry are captured in what you call the logo. And the closest word in English to logos is what? Logo. So this picture is the concept of the church. That's the concept of this ministry. When you look at us, His Worship Christian Network, what you see at the top is a worshiper. He has become one with a shield. So he worships, but he worships in faith. And the eyes of the worshiper is up. So our worship is not towards man, it's Godward. We also have flames. It means that the movements of the spirit are very strong. We also have a globe. And it's not necessary that what God has called you to do has a globe, because it's not everybody that has a global ministry. Are you with me? People don't like what I'm saying. Okay, let me prophesy like they used to prophesy. They say that the world will hear your voice. No, let's be normal now. Yes, now it's because you know I want to catch you. Yes, but the truth is, he didn't send everybody to the world. So you don't need to bring that detail. And even if you sent it to the world, you don't need to include the detail. But in our own, we have something like, we have a golden band, and it's to show that in trying to reach the world with true worship, which is beyond a song, which is the expression of life, may we do it like royalty. We won't act anyhow, we won't talk anyhow, because we know that we're a company of kings. Are you with me? A king can wear shirt and trousers, but we know that there's something about him with the way he conducts himself. It's a mindset thing. Are you with me? Good. So, the Bible says in the beginning there was a concept. Somebody said, no, it's the written word of God. So I said, okay, in the beginning was the Bible. And the Bible was with Oyana. Was with God. And the Bible was really. So what God began with was an idea in himself, an idea which was himself, an idea, sorry, which was in the beginning, an idea which was hidden with God, and an idea which was God himself. So Jesus is the God idea, is the God concept. We validate that truth in the day that he was speaking to his disciples in John chapter 14, and Philip looked at him I said, you talk about the Father too much. Show us the Father. And it's officiated us. And Jesus said to him, what kind of question is that? How long do you want me to be with you? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, God at sundry times and in diverse manners speak to our fathers through the prophets. Because the prophetic channel is supposed to be the divine communication channel. But in these last days, he has spoken to us, his son. So it's still a prophetic channel, but the entity has changed. This one not only speaks by words, he also speaks by life. So that if you look at him, you will still know what God looks like. Are you with me? But the Bible makes him a stronger prophet than the prophets, because the Bible calls him the express image. It means there's nothing that is in God that is not in him. The word express there will mean the most perfect. We can fault the prophets, but we can't fault him. So what we see is Jesus the prophet. As Jesus the prophet, he brings the word of God to us, the literal word of God. He brings the shape of God to us. He communicates the manner of God to us. Thomas said to him, we know not where thou goest, nor do we know how to get there. He says, I am the way, I am the pattern. He was not going to heaven, no. He was going to the cross. He's saying the reason why your life ends well is that you didn't follow me. If you live like me, you will die on a cross. Oh, you don't like that one. The life of, I was saying this morning, we're sharing martyrdom a little. I said the reason why it's hard for people to die is that they've never died before. The life of the believer is supposed to be littered with altars. Altars not upon which you offered praise, but you offered yourself. That's why Paul calls us a living sacrifice. That every time there's a, you get to a point, a junction where a decision is about to be made, every decision junction is an altar that appears in your life to choose to live to self or to die to self and live to God. And if you have died those many deaths, if it becomes your lot to die physically, there will be nothing left to live to, so it will be easy to die. So a martyr is one who has died too many times and is no longer afraid to die ultimately. So he became the pattern in all things, in dedication to God, in the pursuit of God, in the pursuit of holiness and purity. He became a prophet. So that if we don't know what is pleasing to God, you only need to behold the Christ. And we need to announce to the church that this kind of prophetic ministry must be embraced again. We have seen too much of men. We need to see the man of Calvary again. Our conformity is not tied to beholding men. For we all, with unveiled face, beholding us in a glass, what we see is the glory of God. And we are transformed into the same image. And it is from glory to glory. The secret of transformation is seeing the Christ. You will become what you see. You become what you see. The preacher in 2022 going forth must stand away and let the church see Jesus. We have veiled him for too long. That's why we are struggling to conform men. He was preached to me, but preached to a point that I began to see him. Everyone must see him. It's a secret of change. So, that's Jesus the prophet. Well, beyond the expressions, we also see Jesus bring forth prophetic words. When he met Nathanael, who became Bartholomew, Jesus expressed prophecy or the prophetic dimension on one-on-one levels. I saw you sitting under the tree. You were doing nothing in the middle of the day. Say you are a great prophet. He said, no, that's cheap. You will see greater things. You will see the heavens open. And the angels of God will ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. What he was saying to him was not new. He's saying you will see what Jacob saw. But because of the lenses that Jacob used to view, he could see the angels, but he saw a ladder. He did not understand that this ladder was a personality. That your life will embrace angelic ministry, but you will not steward it by yourself. There's a backbone to angelic ministry. They will arise and descend, governed by the Christ. Amen. At another time, he was, that's in John chapter 4, he was sitting by the well, by Jacob's well, and then a woman came to him of the people of Samaria and was trying to fetch water, and Jesus began to engage her. They got lost in the issues of worship, but Jesus, in his prophetic expressions, went beyond worship and said, bring your husband, because you will be a worshiper, but let's sort what is wrong. And then we found out that she was more than a worshiper. She had evangelistic graces that was strong enough to convert not a man but a city. Well, on a certain day, Matthew chapter 24, he took a walk with his disciples, and as they were coming out of the temple, the disciples began to show him the stones of the temple, how they were decorated in the array. And Jesus said to them, a time is coming when no two stones will be upon themselves again. So the disciples decided to query the timings. Tell us, when these things you said will happen, the signs of your coming and the signs of the end of the age. And he gave many verses in prophecy, and we are testifiers to these things, that the things he said have happened, are happening, and will happen. So I told my friends that because all of us, we live long, our ears will no longer be flat, just stay alive. Very soon our ears will need to, you know, if you wear mask for long, your ears will leave the head and it will come out like this. Because Jesus said pestilences and not pestilence. So the COVID-19 is just one out of an array. There'll be many more that will come. May we survive, but in a lifetime we will count many invasions. It means a time will come when we'll be doing lockdown behind lockdown, lockdown after lockdown, because that's the only way medical science knows. Abi, Baba, is to just keep them inside, they will not be infected. And that's what they will do. But we are in for many more, and all of these are to validate the strength of the prophetic expression of the Christ. The reason why you are sitting here is because you are not only assured of life with God here, but life with God in the hereafter. And it's because you are sure that what Jesus said will come to pass. So that office of the Christ is decorated as a prophetic office. But that's not all. After living 33 years and a half years of prophecy in the earth, he began to labor to bring men into that expression. Because he lived as a pattern man, man could not follow the pattern by will. He had to engage another office within his office to make that possible. So he switched from the prophetic office and he entered into the priestly office. It was in the priestly office, I'm rushing now, that he approached onto a cross and gave us the picture of the New Testament order of priesthood, that in the New Testament, the priest and the sacrifice are one. So that, like Paul says to us in Romans 12, that we offer ourselves, it means you are the one who goes to the altar, but you are not going with a cow. It's you that change yourself to the altar, and you are the one that carries the knife. It means every time you die to yourself and you live unto God, it was because you chose to, not because they bullied you into it. So he approached unto the altar and he offered himself unto God as an eternal sacrifice, so that those who had seen his patterns could embody the patterns. Priestly. The book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, sorry I'm rushing, advertises to us that his prophetic, his priestly labors did not end with paying the penalty for Adam's sin. That even now, he still does priestly work in intercession. The Bible says, for he's able to save them to the uttermost who come to God through him, knowing that he ever liveth. He's an eternal priest, and that priest sustains the reality of intercession. I know in church when people want to take you out of prayers, they say, we're praying for you. And I've told you, don't be making those promises again. The average person does not pray for another person. If you have problems, they say they are praying for you. Pray for yourself. Don't go to sleep because we say they are praying for you. But even if there's nobody praying for you, those that have come to him have an intercessory ministry that is going on. Our names are regularly being mentioned before the Father. Our intercession will not work in the earth if it's not done by mirroring. And so I tell people that an intercessor is not reactionary. You must know what they are praying in heaven before you pray in the earth. Are you with me? So there's an intercessory ministry. There is also a sacrificial expression of the meaning of his essence, his office as a priest. But you see, because he started as a prophet, it means every other office he enters into will be something we are called to mirror. So we are called to mirror his life. We are also called to mirror him in death. And because our future is a crown, he means he must pioneer crowning on our behalf. And so he sits in the third office that is captured within the office of the Christ, which is what we refer to as the office of a king. He now sits as a monarch. And he sits not as kings of places. He sits as kings of those who have subscribed to him. Because the Bible says to us that his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is to suggest that when Jesus becomes interested in a battle, he activates the external beauties of his throne by making the Holy Spirit labor in your heart, Brother Femi, so that you will be subdued by him. And the reward for being subdued will not be a load, will not be a burden on your shoulder. The reward for being subdued is that you will be crowned. Because he was given a name after the days of his passion. It means that your essence too will be inducted. You'll be given a crown. You'll be given a scepter. Where do you live? Bodija. So that from your house in Bodija, you can operate something around your garage. Because you have already been crowned too. You have a scepter. Are you with me? So because you have subscribed to the king, he doesn't make you a servant. He also makes you a king. That's how he rules the earth. Tonight, we want to pray. My time is up. My notes are still full, but I like Papa said we should be honoring those that invite us. And one way to honor them is if they say 45 minutes more. Don't use beyond 45 minutes. So how many minutes do I have? Okay, 10 to 15. Okay. Have you watched Papa at Wafbeck before? Sometimes his hand is up on somebody's head to pray, and it says time up. And so he goes away. He goes away. So that pastor will invite me again. I was going to pass a comment when I was coming. How prayers happened in this room. Kai. When I passed, I was outside though. When I passed, all my signals were clashing, and I was like, what? You see, whatever you are doing, be doing it. It's not everywhere. Oba has traveled with me many times to preach. There are places we go to, and we have to stir the energies within, because in the atmosphere is there's no God inside it. In some of those places, they have equipment to. Because you can use things to replace God. You can have a beautiful church and not have a beautiful church of Christ, but not have Christ in the church. Yes. And because when the glory is lost, what people look for is fig leaves. It's the economy of replacement. They just tie things on so that the man knows he's naked, but he looks for a substitute. So he buys line speakers, And when he prays and there's no reality, he looks for a smoke making machine to cast a little bit up so that it looks like ni tabanaku. I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm saying that in those things should be additions. Let God be there. Let God be there. We want to pray. The reason why we need to pray is that in Acts chapter 2, we see the narrative of the third layer, the third external layer of the beauty of the throne of Christ come alive. And it was in the upper room. The activity was sustained praying and sustained fellowship. And the Bible said that there came upon that meeting place a sound from heaven. Look, in trying to apportion that sound, its genre, it was not reggae, what other sound do we have? It was not salsa. He said it was like the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And the Bible said that sound filled the house, and there appeared unto them tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. My cry to God tonight is that everyone here receives the installment that makes them an expression of the beauty of the throne of the Christ. So we want to pray into that reality. We want to pray into that reality. You can lift up your voice and begin to engage the Lord. There is a promise. There is a promise that in the day of thy power, thy people shall be willing in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast ordained the dew of thy youth. Imako kapa satune kadia tababota lenta babombe sira kababitate ilano katama misebeno katami mbratatos ekakate pokoto makata baboria kasute ataba ilandamba kato santo de presta infaltande pami faila stokaba ikapabo sato kapanda infaltambre soteya. We are in the day of power, and we embrace the fulfillment of the promise. Oh, come on, Beketekaya. In Tokosa, Tukupas, Kabaratu, Katate, Efakevo, Kadustando, Ekokabrindas, Kotalaya, Akatuatapova, Epapakova, Santa Kapamo, Ekakambia, Silabaka, Atuaso, Peria, Ekate, Raske, Fula, Temo, Ekapo, Kante, Kumembenda, Siota, Ekate, Predetto, Lokabo, Baisukata, Bepre. Dile katimama vote en kamo mitapalaka even ato kadu sai kamola andra kesule ketele e presko biliko te kapipari akomota eva niando e kakapo pale sumikatada. Yes, we embrace the fulfillment. We embrace the fulfillment. We are the beauty of your throne. We are the beauty of your office. We are as ornaments upon your neck. Ianikando masatakata. Ailekate rose ya tunda skaine. Eraka papa posa kutumaskato papo. Efenatabonde komia loskati. Ake kabrato mote. Efa katoto papa komi borasutelia. Ay. Kaya sekobo. Kentoka batitata. Akatopelande sesumate. Erole kumbesima. Maibo pelanes. Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Tonight we wait. We wait. We wait.
Kosata. We wait on you, Lord. We wait on you. Yeah, we wait on you, Lord. We wait on you. We wait on you. Yes, Lord, we wait. Oh, we wait on you.
We wait on you.
Yeah, Mama, no, Savannah, Tonya, Santa, Dabroha, Tela. Lord, we wait. One more time, we wait and we wait. Lord, we wait. Analo sagalaba, rata paso celia kataba baboe. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Now, our request is designed to occasion feedbacks. So, Father, we ask you that as you came showering, keeping your promise at Pentecost, tonight, you will clothe us. You will beautify us that the beauty of your office may become visible. What you did in the upper room was that you clothed men. And tonight we come to be clothed. We ask that in this next 3 minutes, just 3 minutes and then we're off. Inside and outside, you will begin to visit us with garments. For it was said that he shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. There is a world out there that is waiting to see your beauty. Clothe us tonight. Clothe us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Okay, God is saying he has answered. So, listen to me. As this operation begins to express, because I know that he has answered, but I know some people don't know. God will give us a sign that he has clothed tonight. And he will cause his hand to come on just 14 individuals. He will increase the intensity of the garments that is wearing upon them, inside and outside. It will be the gifting of all kinds of anointings, from anointings for the prophetic to those for intercession, evangelistic communications, but just so power communications, just so that the beauty of the Christ can be seen. You don't need to pray again. You don't need to pray again. He has heard us. Now, Holy Spirit, you are the clothier. I ask that in the next 2 minutes, you will show us 14 individuals that you have clothed, and you will overwhelm them by the anointing from outside to the inside to the front. Holy Ghost, from my right to my left. As I count from 1 to 14, show me this 14 so that our minds can be cleared that you came tonight. Come strongly, come tangibly. You can come now. 1, Holy Spirit. 2, help me find these ones that you will give to us as the first fruits of this clothing. You can stop playing. You join me after 14. Holy Spirit, now 4.
inside and outside. 5, Holy Ghost. 6, the first fruits. 7, Holy Ghost. 8, 9, 10, 11, okay, 12, 13, and 14. Now it becomes stronger. You can begin to pray. It becomes stronger. It becomes stronger. It becomes stronger. His hand is all over the building, inside and outside. He clothes with power. He clothes to intercede. He clothes to prophesy. I am a makokemenate. Even in the choir, he clothes. Yes, he clothes. He clothes. There is a sound expression of this glory. I akomo. Ikasami mo tetai. Oh, we have just 1 more minute, Holy Ghost. Can you come stronger? Can you come stronger? Can you come stronger? Clothe us. Clothe us. We are the beauty of your throne. Oh my. Kamo selukataba. Biento mi kovetokle. Rekote tustatate. Recto mi sataba mi viata. They are messengers of healing in the house. They are messengers of healing. He clothes to heal the nations. He clothes to heal. He clothes to heal. Oh, Kayo Sadabai. We have just 40 seconds. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, 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 come. Clothe your people. Clothe your people. Isadu kai lomi fibote balofi nikala sate. Oh, ikaiyazo galoma kai mesunetada. Clothe us, that in this day of your power we will not be naked. Clothe us, clothe us, that we will not be vulnerable, exposed to the elements of the earth, exposed to wickedness. Clothe us.